You can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. 14, sorry. 4 is good too, but... You know, there's a phrase used in our world a lot of times, and it started out with clothing, I think, and, you know, especially I remember socks, and it was one size fits all, right? It's almost become cliched, you know, and so you get hats now, they're adjustable, one size fits all. When I was a kid, you had to know your hat size. Now you don't have to. There's adjustable belts, one size fits all, except for, you know, if you get somebody that's rotund. I remember I worked in a store and this guy had a 60-inch waist. We had to order everything special for him. That's 5 feet around. And he was about 5 foot tall. So he was, you know. Anyway. And then, you know, there's sometimes in life where it says, one size does not fit all, right? That's an interesting thing, too, to understand. Certainly many times in life circumstances, there are similar things going on, but they may not always have the same solution, right? Because, you know, you go to a doctor and you have an ache or you have a knee problem, and, you know, you go to the doctor and he tells you, do this, or he takes x-rays and he says, this is wrong. And then somebody else goes and they have the pain in the same knee, but the solution may be different. You know, it depends what's going on. But God's solution for mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a one-size-fits-all. That's pretty, see how we got into that? Pretty cool, huh? And it is the starting point and the foundation of a truly abundant life. If you want to live a good life, you have to start with Jesus Christ being your Lord. And, you know, lots of people are born again and they confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, but then he doesn't stay there, Lord. You know, they just go other ways. So in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ said something very interesting. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a very straightforward, simple, direct, can't argue with statement. That's it. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son. And, you know, even as you live life, one of the things we're taught is we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we live our life in light of what he did for us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So there's only one way to live a godly life, and that is by the way of Jesus Christ. There is no gray area here. There's no other possibility. There's no maybes or possibilities or what on the other hand if, you know, there's none of that. There's one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 11 of John. You know, I know you all know this, but it's a good reminder, isn't it? It's a really good reminder. It's an important thing. Chapter 11, verse 25. You know, if you're going to be good at anything in life, if you're really going to be good at it, it requires two things. It requires commitment and dedication. You know, you got to be committed to it and you got to dedicate yourself to doing it. You know, if you want to be a good carpenter, you want to be a good electrician, you want to be a good doctor, you want to be a good engineer, you want to be whatever it is. You know, a parent, you know, whatever. You have to sell out to it. You have to be your best. If you want to be a good Christian and you want to live an abundant life that God promises in his word, you have to sell out to it. It has to be your all in all. So chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. This is where Jesus Christ goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he meets one of the sisters there. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So, you know, that's pretty simple, isn't it? There's only one way to get eternal life. And, you know, there's a place in the Word where God talks about, says it in Romans, also says in the Old Testament, you have two choices. You can choose death or you can choose life. Right. And when you're not living for God, when you're not living according to His Word, then you're living a dead life. When you walk for God and Jesus Christ, then you're living life. And again, this is an absolute truth. No man can cheat death. You know, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to succumb to physical death. Just the way it is. But Jesus Christ defeated death for us, and through him we have eternal life. So eventually, one way or the other, we're going to get new bodies and we're going to have eternal life. And we'll ever be with the Lord. Turn to chapter 8. Chapter 8. You know, the Word says many things that are absolute. You know, when you read the Word, just pay attention to things that are absolute. There's no wiggle room. You know, in the world, there's always wiggle room, isn't there? There's always loopholes. There's always reasons, excuses. You know, but with God, there is no excuse. If you believe, He's going to do for you. If you believe, you're going to do for Him. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to see great things happen. What a great thing, huh? Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wow, what a great promise. And again, that's true. You can't argue with it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, he is the light of life. It says in other places that God is light, right? It says that his word is light, right? Well, what's the subject of the whole word? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is light because God sent him to save the world. And when we follow his example, when we listen to the things he spoke, we know that that is the truth. You can ignore it. You can decide not to do it. But that's on you because he's made it available. He's told you in no uncertain terms what the truth is. Let's go to James chapter 1 just to cement that in your brain. Because it says something about God here. James chapter 1 verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a great verse. You know, last week we had a full moon, I believe. It was a harvest moon. Well, when you see that full moon, that's it, right? On my phone it says, it gives you, you know, the day it's 100% illuminated. Then it's 98, 97, it wanes. That's the earth and the moon turning, and then slowly that shadow comes out. Well, God has no shadow of turning. He's always full, bright, shining, illuminated to us. There is no shadow of turning. And that's literally what this verse talks about. It's as the moon turns and has a shadow. That's, you know, literally what it means. You know, there are many absolute truths, axioms, eternal verities, that means truths, in God's word, and they take precedence over all other laws, beliefs, theories that man can come up with. They just do. They're just greater, and they take precedence. They are more. They have more authority and power because they're perfect. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And as you go through the word, pay attention, you know, to what it says. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. One of my favorite verses. Oh my gosh. Krista, could you just do something with that? Thank you, dear. You don't have to answer, just, yeah, there you go. Okay, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Chapter 1, verses somewhere here, 2 through 5 or 6. It tells you what the gospel is. It's the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So here Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And the word power there is the word dunamis. And that means potential power, right? Resident, inherent power. It only is activated when you believe. But it's an absolute statement again. God's word is the power of God, and it has the power to save, deliver, rescue, whatever, to those that believe. So when you believe the word, the power of God comes into fruition, manifestation in your life. And it will rescue, deliver you, help you, save you. Because that's what it does. Let's go to chapter 3 of Romans. I just love to go to bookstores. Just sometimes and roam around, look at books. The greatest section in a bookstore is self-help books. It's just a never-ending source, and there's a new one every week. Every week. There was a thing years ago in the 70s, I think, Est. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was somebody's training seminar. And they would get people into a hotel, you know, banquet hall. And thousands of people would go. And they would charge like $1,500, $2,000 for the weekend. And they would pretty much lock you in that room and give lectures and stuff. And at the end, they would say, "Did you get it?" You know? And some people say, "Oh, yeah, I got it." But it didn't give them eternal life. And it didn't really change their lives. Because eventually, it just faded away. Otherwise, people would, you'd still hear about it, right? And there are lots of those things. You know, if you do this way, you'll have a great life. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Anyway, chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All with what? Without exception, everybody that is ever born on the face of the earth has sin nature, and the result of sin nature is sinning, and come short of the glory of God. Well, misery loves company. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So even though we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is redemption by the grace of God, and it's through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus. One size fits all. It's the only way to get redeemed is Jesus Christ. whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, which means, you know, payment, through the faith or believing in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. The word through in verses 24 and 25 is a Greek word dia. It means by way of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. We have redemption by way of Christ Jesus. And we have the remission of sins because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and he paid for it. And it's through, by way of, the forbearance of God. You know, he gave us a pass. He gave us a way out. What a great God. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through doing good works and being nice people and doing charitable events and giving alms to the poor and bringing meals to old ladies and old men that can't go out. And no, we have what? We have peace with God through, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. And that through is by him. We have access through our Lord Jesus Christ by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, we have it through Jesus Christ. How important is Jesus Christ in that he's Lord in our life? Let's go to verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, if it was works, this verse would be a lie. You know that? If it was works and we had to work for his love, it wouldn't be grace, would it? But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him, through Christ Jesus. Wow. So we're saved from the wrath. So, you know, people read the book of Revelation, they go, oh man, we're in trouble. Or, you know, they hear about climate change and they go, oh, the world's going to end. We're in trouble. You know, we're saved from the wrath through him. Period. We're saved from the wrath through him. You know, when Adam fell, the world was polluted. It was, right? It was a perfect environment, and then he fell, and what happened? Weeds grew up, and thorns and thistles, and the world became polluted. And from that point on, it was condemned. And people were condemned with it, but Jesus Christ came. God figured out a way to save mankind, and it says what? We'll be gathered together, and then eventually there will be what? A new heaven and a new earth. Because this earth won't be worth saving. Just the way it goes. Verse 37? No, chapter 8. Sorry. Everybody knows this verse. But I thought of it in light of what we're looking at. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. And it's referring to Jesus Christ that loved us. Because previous to that, it talks about Christ in verse 35. The love of Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus Christ is the one size fits all. He is the Word. He is God's Word. He is the salvation in God's Word. He is the answer to all our needs, all our problems. It is just what it is. What does it say in Peter? 2 Peter, it says that through a knowledge of him, you know, all things that pertain to life and godliness. In chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the victory through.
No, this isn't right. 1 Corinthians 15.
15, verse 57.
All right.
That was the previous chapter. 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have victory through Jesus Christ. We don't have victory in our ability. We don't have victory in science or philosophy or theology. We have victory in what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and what he accomplished in us. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is speaking about Christ. It's in the first several verses, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And in verse 7, it says, "In whom?" In Christ. "We have redemption through his blood." We read that already. "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his," God's, "grace." You know, we have it through Jesus Christ. In verse 18, it says, "The eyes of our understanding being..." No, that's not the right verse. But it doesn't matter. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Steve prayed this because he knew I was going to teach this. He prayed it, and it says, "For the preaching of the..." Chapter 1, verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?" You know, he's writing this to the Corinthians, and if you know anything about the ancient Greeks or the Greeks of the first century, and they were really into philosophy, you know, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, all those guys. And they would sit around in the city square, all these guys, and they would argue about everything, you know. So they would come up with all these different answers. What made the world? And they came up with, well, everything is made of earth, wind, and fire. It's where we get the group. That's the name. Well, it comes from that, from Greek philosophy. And then they would argue about how many teeth are in a horse's mouth. They would never take the time to count them. They would just argue about it. And they would argue about what was the life power in a man, because they couldn't figure it out. And they did get breath to a degree, but, you know, they would argue, and they had all these different philosophical ideas, and, you know, so they were disputers of the world, that's what this is referring to. They were disputers of this world. Where am I? 20? Yeah, okay. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what?"
Believe.
We already saw about that, right? Believing. You know, God makes an absolute statement about believing, you know, that the word of God, the gospel of God, is the power of God able to deliver to salvation. So, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks a foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What a great statement, huh? Because it's true. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's a pretty straightforward statement there, isn't it? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, not yes or no, but in him was yea, or yes. For all the promises of God, how many promises of God? All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. He's one size fits all. Whatever you need in life, whatever, you go to God and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what he gave you in Christ. You know what he made you in Christ. You know what he put in you, the seed of Christ. You know, and that's what makes the difference in life, when we walk according to his word. Now, there are lots of specifics in life that God tells us about and teaches us in his word. And they're very simple and they're very straightforward. And there's no gray area in them, you know. And you can look them up. But when you read the word, look at those statements, look at those commands, look at those things that God says that they're absolute. But they're all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. They're all wrapped up in him, because he was the answer to our problem. And our problem was sin nature and sinning. And God gave us a way out. All we have to do is follow it. That's the light. That's the path. That's the way to a godly life. So, Father God, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how you sent him, how he was the great example, how he spoke your word so simply and beautifully, how you made everything available through him, how there's only one way to you, God, and that's through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that when we make him Lord in my life, we see great things happen. When we are committed to him and we are dedicated to living our life for him and for you, that we just see you work mightily in our lives. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.